first thing we need to get clear on is we need to focus on building listing inventory. I think we've all been in real estate for a while. We know listings are important, yes? We make money working with buyers and working with
sellers.
Most of us, if we've been in real estate for a while, we know listings are really important, yes?
Yes.
But I want to teach you just a little bit different. Maybe you haven't heard it quite this way. And just how important and why it's important. So focus on building listing inventory. Circle the word inventory, because we're going to talk about the inventory distinction. See, it's not just getting listings, it's getting inventory. So let's talk about this for a second. You probably know some friends, families, neighbors, whatever, that they maybe are making less money than you in the course of a year, but somehow they have more toys in the driveway, they're spending more family vacation time, or you know what I'm talking about, yes?
Yes.
What do those people have that we don't have?
Debt.
A lot of debt.
Debt. They have debt that we don't have. I think we all got debts.
Yes.
So that's not it, right? What is it? Let me tell you what they have that we don't have. Now just watch this. Now first of all, let's, like all kidding aside, let's really wrap our brain around that. That we know some people that maybe make less money than we do, but yet they have more personal time, they have more toys in the driveway. Wow, what's that about? What they have, well, you're getting closer now. What they have is actually what the Small Business Administration says is one of the top reasons why businesses go out of business. What they have that we don't have is cash flow. Let me explain. They have a 9-to-5 job most likely, right? And they're getting a paycheck every 2 weeks. Yes?
Yes.
And even if that paycheck is less than what you might make, the fact that it's the same number consistent, never going down, maybe with bonuses it can go up. They can budget their life around that consistent number, yeah?
Yes.
We don't have that. That's the problem. Let me ask you this. If you knew, come hell or high water, that every month you were going to have $5,000 coming in, pretty much, no matter what, would you have less stress in your life, more fun? Would you take more risks? Yes or no?
Yes.
Yes. We need cash flow. Now, there's something else. Oh, here's the other thing. If let's say you're making $5,000 a month, and even if your bills are $6,000 or $7,000, but you know that $5,000 is coming in every time, what can you do? You can do Peter to pay Paul, right? Now, that's not the best business model. Obviously, you can't run a business indefinitely that way. But in times when tough, at least you can start moving numbers around. We don't have that luxury either. So how do we get cash flow in our business? It's inventory. Now, let's talk about inventory. Let's say you were going to get out of real estate and sell something else. What would you sell?
Insurance.
Okay, good. What else? Booze? Is that what you said? Booze. Okay, we have an alcoholic here. All right, very nice. I think the AA meeting is here tonight, actually. So booze, what else?
Cars.
All right, let's say shoes. Let's make believe we're going to sell shoes. Now, by the way, I can do this with any business. Cars, insurance, it's the same concept. Okay? Yes, well, what I'm going to talk about inventory. Okay? So let's say you decide to sell shoes for a living. And by the way, shoes is just the example. We can do this with any industry. But shoes, you can go get a store, get some racks, get some of the shoes wholesale, and put it in your store, and have buyers come to your store to buy your shoes. Yes?
Yes.
That'd be the one business model. The other business model is you find the buyer who wants to buy a pair of shoes. Stick them in your car and drive them from shoe store to shoe store to shoe store. Now help me out over here, which is better? Taking a buyer and driving them to the shoe stores or having the store with the shoes? Having the stores with the shoes. Our shoes are our houses. And an agent with no listings has an empty shoe store. You got no business. And literally what you're doing is you're taking buyers and bringing them to other shoe stores, selling those shoes. Are you all with me on this?
Yes.
So what you have to do, now I know we've heard this before, you know, listings are the name game, it's important, but I'm telling you, if you don't have listings, you have no business. So let's say you've got 6 listings in your inventory. And let's say in the month of January, 4 go into contract. First of all, how would you feel? How would you feel?
Great.
Well, please notify your face. You should see what I'm looking at right now. You're like, great, I guess. You'd be happy, yes?
Yeah.
By the way, what's your average commission per sale? I know some of you, it's been a long time since you had a closing, but if you can kind of remember, what is it, $4,500? About $5,000 here? Okay, great. So if you have four go into contract, that's $20,000, yes? You'd be happy. So when you have four sales going to contract, wonderful, but you got a problem. Because here's what just happened to your inventory. Now here's the best part about this though. Whatever this chart's doing, it's like a crystal ball. It's looking into your cash flow in the future. Why do I say in the future? When those four go in the contract, when they close, are you going to have a surge of cash? Yes or no?
Yes.
But the following months, no surge. This keeps your gleamania in check. It's like, yeah, that's great, but uh-oh, we got to replenish the inventory. If we don't replenish the inventory, what does a store do when somebody's selling shoes or cars or clothes or furniture? When they sell the inventory, what do? They got to get more inventory because that's the business. Without it, there is none. So let's say you've got two listings in your inventory and you want to get it up to four. How many do you need? Okay, why didn't you all answer that? That's like not hard math. Yeah, let's do it again. I'll go a little slower. You've got two listings in your inventory. You want to get it up to four. Everybody, how many do we need?
Two.
Now pay attention because the math's going to get hard. I'm going to add subtraction. While you're going for these two, let's say one of these goes into contract. How many do you need now?
Three.
So here's my point. We're not setting listing goals. I'm going to get three listings this month. I want to get two listings this month. No, we want to set inventory goals. How is that so far? Good, yes?
Yes.
All right, so now let's go to the next piece. If we're going to do that, what do we need to do? Well, we need a prospect, yes? We got to go out and get the business. Tell me, where can you get listings? By the way, you don't have to write these down. What's going to pop up on the screen, it's really kind of like the whole shoe store thing. I want to like put it in your face. It's really to teach you something. So you don't need to write down what's over here. But talk to me. Where can we get listing leads? How can we do that?
Sphere of influence.
Sphere of influence, yeah.
Past clients.
Internet. Open house.
Neighbors.
Yeah, you see, you guys are so not letting me down. Okay. I'm gonna help you, though, because there's a distinction here that's going to help you. So we got social media, yes? And open houses is a source of listing leads, and mailings, door knocking, advertising, self-promotion, and this is just to mention a few. This is the big one, referrals and past clients. Now, are those really good things, yes or no?
Yes,
they are, and I believe in those. But I got a separate thing on the other side, FSBOs and expires. Now, what's the difference between what's on the left side and what's on the right side?
You already know
motivation.
It's very interesting. Yes, we know that they want to sell. There's no ends, ifs, or buts. This over here is future business, right? You're planting seeds, social media and door knocking. What you're trying to do here is you're trying to plant in people's mind, when you're all ready, come to me. Now listen to this, it's very powerful because we do that stuff asking them to find us when they're ready.
Right.
Are you with me? So you're putting your financial future in other people's thinking and decision. This is not a good idea. Don't misunderstand me. These are good pieces. But agents, especially the new agents, focus on that. Why? Because it's passive. You're mailing stuff, you're spending money, hopefully somebody's going to call me. But I've seen agents go broke doing this side of the business. Yes?
Yeah.
The other side of the business, this is now business. There's people right now who we know are committed to selling, and we can go get a listing now from that group. No future business. Are you with me on this?
Yeah.
So what you should be doing is not taking your personal money paying for this. You should have your business paying for that. So as you, right here, over here, FSBOs and expires, does it cost money? No. All you need is the number and a phone. And then go over and have a conversation with people. This is now business that costs you nothing. I know some of you have concerns about working physicals and expires, like, how do you do it, blah, blah, blah. So let's cover that a little bit. First of all, before I forget the Red X thing, because I tore the paper off and I just remembered. People ask me, where do you get the leads? Do any of you know this company called Red X? How many of you know it so I can see it? Okay. For those of you who don't know, let me tell you what Red X is. The website to go, and if you don't mind, I'm going to talk to you while I get some water. The Red, R-E-D-X, the letter X, .com. TheRedX.com. Now, what this company is, okay, you can do that. What this company does, the RedX.com, is they will research and find for you FSBOs and pre-foreclosures and something else. Oh, expireds. So you know how sometimes an expired is also a FSBO?
Right.
You know, either before or after. Well, anyway, this software merges it so you don't have duplicate records. Now, this company, they give it to you every day. You don't have to find it, research it. They tell you if it's on the do not call list. They give you the address. It's wonderful. A couple of things about it. First of all, there's a $150 setup fee, and it costs $110 a month. Now, no, stop. Oof. How much would you have to pay to have an assistant do all that research for you? It's going to be a lot more than $110 a month. And if we figure out how much is that in a year? $1,200? I'm sorry, how many listings would that be? Not even. Are you with me? One listing that sells pays for at least 4 years. Okay? So don't come from that. That's a good investment to help manage your time to get the leads. Now, here's what my students get. You get that $150. Wait, everybody, ooh. And you get the first month zero. If you call the Red X and you tell them, I'm one of Darryl's students, I want to get Darryl special, and you'll get it always so you can try it, okay?
Thank you.
You're welcome. All right, good. Now, let's go back to my question now. How many FSBOs do you think might be, keeping in mind that you haven't been paying attention, how many do you think there are every day in your market, not in the States? You got 50. How many of those 50 do you think are going to list with an agent? Yeah, almost all of them eventually, yeah?
40.
Okay, let's go with 40. Now, of those 40, how do I do that, right? Of those 40, how many do you think are actually going to sell?
All of them here. Right now?
All of them, but let's go a little conservative.
30.
I like your thinking. 30. Now, what do we say the average commission was in this room?
Five.
Now, if we take that $5,000 and we multiply it by 30, that's $150,000 every month in the course of a year. That's $1.8 million. Are you guys learning anything so far? Yes or no?
Yes.
All right, now, let's talk about the FSBO thing, how to make these calls and what it's like. First of all, let me tell you this. Ensure Results, that three-day class that I had. I don't know if I told you the name, but the three-day class that I have, here's what the agents do. They bring FSBOs into the class. I have a phone put on the stage, and I pipe it through the speakers. And then I call the class FSBOs live. Everybody, ooh. I'm the only speaker that does that, because, you know, that takes, you know, confidence. That's the confidence. I mean, for a speaker to put their reputation at risk, because, you know, you can bomb, you look, but I don't bomb. My average is I'll call three and I'll schedule two.
Really?
And the reason why that's my specialty, because that's how I learned the business. I started real estate in 19, it was back in B.C., before computers. So we didn't have the technology we have today. So if you wanted to get listings, you know, you could do the farming and the mailing and blah, blah, blah. My broker, Ann Dichter, she says, she opens up the newspaper because there's no internet. Say, here's the newspaper. Circle the FSBOs and call them. Now, the FSBOs in New York, they eat their young. They are the toughest in the country. I mean, they curse at you and then hang up. So then I had to call back and say, I'm sorry, we got disconnected. Right? And they're like, you got some, shut up. Hey, this is me. So they appreciate just that a little bit aggressiveness. You don't have to be like that aggressive. But it is tough, the first sample, but not as tough as you think. It's really just the initial piece. So let me teach you what, by the way, I'm going to tell you something. This CD here, this has me going through everything that I know about physicals and expires. And maybe if you want, I'll raffle it off. Would you like it?
Yeah.
No, I ain't feeling the love. All right, never mind. No. I'll maybe give you a chance again later if I feel it. If you could call 3 physicals and schedule 2 appointments, would that be fun, yes or no? Now, so let me tell you one of the big pieces that they learn. One of the biggest mistakes that we make in calling physicals is we ask for the appointment too soon. You don't want to make it a quick call. You want to make it a relationship building call. Let me show you. So let me show you, which is on that FSBO CD, this concept. If you ask for the appointment in that first 60 seconds, you got a 0% chance in getting that appointment. Why? Because they hate you. Now, if you get them to the point where they like you, you got a 50-50 shot. If you get them to the point where they like you and, what do you think I'm going to say here? Trust. That's right. They're going to ask you to come over. Now, let me give you some more about this. I call this the 60-second hump. Most agents don't last past the 60 seconds. The reason why they don't is because that homeowner's got really good at that 60 seconds. They've had so many agents call before you, they know exactly what to say. They even have their own script. They even have their own training program. Yeah. They do. It's created in the 19th century by a Frenchman. His name was Jacques Fisbeau, and Jacques gives them a script. Now, let me just tell you something about actors, because I told you I got some of that theater background. There's an approach that actors some take. It's called the method approach. And what a method actor is, there's a lot to it, but here's one of what I'm trying to teach you. When they put on their makeup and their costume, they are now that character. So even if they're off stage and they're not in front of the camera, when they are in full makeup and full costume, they are that character. It's kind of weird. Like you'd have to talk to them and using the character's name, you know. So in a sense, what the method actor is doing is putting on a character. All FSBOs are method actors. But their script, their play, their movie is only, what? 60 seconds. This is a very powerful concept I'm giving you. See, when you call that FSBO, the person you're talking to, in that first 60 seconds, it's not the homeowner. It's somebody else they put on. They got dialogue, our house is already sold, we've done this before. So they're being real, they can be as nasty as they want because they're doing a character. Now, if you stay on that phone with them for that 60 seconds, you hang in there for that 60 seconds, their play is over, the script is done, so all that can show up now is the real homeowner. Because at the end of the 60 seconds, they got nothing. They're done. And it's very interesting what happens. I've had many homeowners who were nasty, and 10 minutes later, oh, yeah, come on over, when can you meet? Yeah, let's do it. They're all into it now. So my message to you, I can't teach you everything today, the script and the whole process. I mean, like that CD, that's like 3.5 hours. So I can't, because then this summer would be just on that. I have a lot more to teach you today. But what I can give you now that'll help you immediately is understand that whatever they say in that 60 seconds, don't take it personal. Just hang in there. How do you keep somebody on the phone? How do you hang in there? What do you think you would do?
Ask questions.
That's right. Just ask questions. We're not working with agents. Oh, okay. So you are trying to do it. Yes, so I'm going to go. Yeah. Well, can I just ask you a question? And then just start talking. Just start asking questions. You'll keep them on the phone. I'm going to give you a secret question that works really great. Do you want it? Yes or no?
Yes.
When you start getting into the questions about the house, bedrooms, baths, blah, 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 So you don't want to lead with this. Some ladies, they make the mistake, oh, I got the secret question. So you lead, the first question is, you can't do it. You got to build up to this one. The question is this. So, well, tell me, you know, Miss Homeowner, what's the one feature about your house that you think buyers just are going to love? What's that one feature? What's that one selling point? What's that one thing that you feel really makes your house special for modelers? I don't care how you ask it. The point of the question is that one thing that is makes your house special. Because everybody thinks their house is special. And let me tell you why that's like a magic question. When you ask that question, they go into a different mode. Oh, well, let me tell you. And they start going off about this great feature as if they're trying to sell you on that feature. And they start talking to you like you're the buyer, and that's where the call switches. Because without them realizing it, they're selling you on how great their house is, and the next step in that conversation, well, you gotta see it. Come on over. Okay. Now, how are we doing? Good, yes?
Yes.
All right, now, here's the next thing. Getting our listing sold. Now, this is not a problem in our market now, correct?
Correct.
Prices are going up. Okay. But here's a couple things I want to teach you about making sure. You see, if you're going to be getting listings, you got to make sure that they're committed sellers. Have you ever had those listings where the homeowner says, we're in no hurry, if we don't get our price, are you with me?
Yes.
Okay, when they say that, they're committed to price, they're not committed to moving. Some of you have had listings in your inventory that you were committed to selling, and they weren't committed to it. How crazy is that, right? They're committed to price. We don't help people who are committed to price. That's not what we do. We are not, we don't, our job is not to sell, well, of course, part of the job description is we want to have the homeowner net the most money they possibly can, and studies show that we actually do put more money in a homeowner's pocket than a FSBO, which I'll show you that in a minute. But that's not what we do. It's not about the number. It's about the moving. What we do is help people get moved on in their life. Are you with me? And if somebody's not committed to moving, we can't help these people. Watch this. Let's say you had 10 listings, okay? If you had these 10 listings and these homeowners are really committed to selling, how many should sell?
10.
Yeah, 10. Now, let's say you had 15 listings. 10 of them are really committed. How many are going to sell?
10.
Well, not really. 7. Here's why. You lost 3 good clients because you were messing around with the other 5 you shouldn't have been. Let me ask you another question. How many hours are there in a week? And the fact that you don't know that, that's a problem. Because you work, you should like know. But we don't pay attention. We work like, you know, time is just endless for us.
164.
Very good. You just missed 4 hours. It's 168. And we have a finite number of hours every week. That 168, you got to divvy it up between your family, your personal time, your health, eating, sleeping, and working. And so if you've got an X amount of hours, whatever that is, 70 hours towards your real estate career, and you're spending 5 hours a week on people who are not even committed to moving, that's wasting your time, and you're missing out on other opportunities. Yes? So the first thing I want to tell you is even in this hot market, because what's going to happen is more and more FSBOs come out, you're going to have more and more people committed to the price, not committed to moving. Don't work with those people. So, make sure, number one, you're working with committed sellers. I'm sorry, I always forget this is here. Tina Rossetti, she's saying, I think that was the most entertaining, and all right, forget that part. That's not important. I make over 200 grand a year. I get 20 listings at any time with no effort. Is that pretty good? Yes?
Yes.
All right. Now, I'm going to teach you, I'm going to give you some extra material if you want it. Do you want it?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, let's do it this way. I like to use baking as an analogy. How many of you are bakers in here? Okay, actually you should all raise your hand.
Okay.
Here's why. Because you all, if you wanted to bake a cake, you can go to the supermarket, get a box of Duncan Hines, go back to the house in the kitchen, you take a half a stick of butter, 2 eggs, you mix it up, then you put it in the pan, you cook it at 350 degrees for 28 to 32 minutes, depending on the size of the pan.
You forgot the water.
It's kind of, I forgot the water. Yeah, but you forgot the 4 hours, all right? So she was getting the water during that 4 hours. So here's my point. The fact that you are all licensed in California, you can all bake. But you're not a chef. A chef can take from nothing and create a Black Forest beautiful cake without even looking at ingredients. Are you with me? What's the difference between a chef and a Duncan Hines baker?
Knowledge and training.
Knowledge and skill, exactly. So there's April, my fiance. She's a baker. And I like to bake. And as you can tell, I like to eat. And you know, all these years, I didn't know that there was different. Now you might know this. I didn't know this. That there's different measuring tools for different things, like water, flour. Like you don't just take the same measuring cups, and that's how I've been doing it for years. I just take something that had a line on it, a half a cup. I just stuck it in there. Whether it was water, flour, I didn't know. Now here's what's interesting. Because who she is a baker, or was a baker, she has certain distinctions and skill sets that I didn't even know, and I didn't even know I didn't know it. Are you with me?
Yes.
That's skill. So in real estate, we have this skill piece, and here's our skill piece, our language, our words. That's our measuring cup. That's our tools. When you think about what we do, 80% of it is communication. Prospecting, the presentation, negotiating, putting fires out. Some agents, they're so bad at that skill, they don't put fires out, they add gasoline to it, yes? And how did they do that? They're speaking. Our cooking tool, if you will, is our words, okay? So we need to know what to say, when to say, and how to say it. We're belly to belly, face to face with buyer and seller. That's what we need to work on. Now, the other skill is the business side. You see, if let's say somebody's a chef and they want to open up a restaurant, running a restaurant, just because you're a great chef doesn't mean you're going to be a good business owner. Why? Different skill set. It's the business side of the business. And most chefs, what do? They don't run the place. They have a partner. And that partner runs the business side. We can't do that. We got to be both the chef in the kitchen, and we got to be running the business of the business. So this, now I'm teaching the business side of the business. Two important distinctions. And I am going to give you some other skill stuff too. First of all, I already said this. Make sure you just work with committed sellers. Committed to what? Committed to, are you cold? I'm sorry. It's freezing? Can I pop it up? But I'm comfortable. Ooh. All right. Pop this one over here. I'll do it. It's good. I didn't know this was set it. Okay. All right. Two. All right. You're welcome. I'll go over here. Oh, nice. Okay. I'll pop this up. Okay. Pop this. All right. There we go. You're welcome. All right, now, so the first thing is make sure we're working with committed sellers. Second thing is, this is really important. You need to create a system of communication with your clients. Now, the listings that you price right and they sell like in like 2 weeks?
2 days.
2 days, they're fine. But let me ask something. As the market continues to do what the market's doing, are you going to start taking overpriced listings? Of course you should be, yes. You should, yes, you should take overpriced listings. That's not a bad thing. It's a bad thing in a down market, but not in an up market. Right? Because the market will catch up to it, and that's fine. But you have to balance between it, all right? Meaning that if, let's say, your property values are going up 20% a year, let's just say, or 10, whatever. It was 20 last year. Okay, good. So let's say it's 20%. You got a house of 500,000. So, you know, I would go 550. Why? That's 10%, not 20, which means it's now not 12 months, it's 6 months. So the market should catch up to it in 6 months. As long as you take the listing for 9 months, because you got to make sure that it all balances out. After 6 months, I think it's now too overpriced, because now it's going to sit on the market too long. Anyway, so if you're going to start taking overpriced listings, That means you're going to be in a relationship with these people longer than just a couple of weeks. What's the biggest complaint homeowners have about realtors? Exactly. You and I are horrible at this in our industry. I know we've all heard about buyer remorse, right? But buyer remorse is not a real estate term. That's a retail sales term, okay? And what it means is when a customer leaves a place of business, whether they bought clothes, furniture, whatever, when buyer remorse kicks in, it sounds something like this. Boy, did we make the
right decision.
Exactly. And the same thing happens with a homeowner, not just with buyers. See, we think buyers show property, they change their mind, that's buyer remorse, but it happens with sellers too.
Yeah.
And it's not always as clear, and they don't always tell us, but it sounds something like this. You leave with the listing, and then when you leave, the husband and wife laying in bed saying, Jesus, did we make the right decision? Do you think we made the right decision on that price? What about the commission? Should we have talked to some other agent? Are you with me on this?
Yeah.
Now, when they start doing this, if you don't prove that they made the right decision, you're now going to start going down a bad path with these people, because now they're going to start to come from a place of fear and protect themselves. They're going to start looking not for what you're doing right, but what you're doing wrong. So it starts sounding like, you know what, they start calling you, they start giving you tips on how you should be marketing the property, right? And it's because they don't trust you, and now you've got a problem. I want you to imagine you leave the listing. Again, you don't need this for all of them, but your overpriced ones you're going to have for 6 months, you've got to take care of these people. I want you to imagine when you come back to the office, you send this letter to your homeowner. Dear Hana Hana, they're an Italian couple. I'd like to take this opportunity to thank you for hiring my office to market your property. I appreciate the trust and confidence you've placed in both me and my company. So I may better serve you. I have a list of suggestions I give to all my clients. These items will help us in the marketing of your property. And try and keep the pets out of the way. If you have them, they may only distract or annoy potential buyers. Turn off the radio or television when the house is being shown. I love this one. Never apologize for the appearance of any portion of your home. You may point out a problem that would have gone unnoticed. Are these good here? Yes? I only read three. There's 14. I just want you to get an idea of it. As I promised you at the time you listed your home with me, I will exert every possible effort to get your property sold. At the end of 2 or 3 weeks, we will analyze all the results from all the showings. If at that time the response is not what we expected, we'll have to discuss an adjustment relative to today's market. What kind of adjustment am I talking about?
Price.
Now, first of all, when you go to the office and you input the listing, and that same time you print out and send this letter, and they get it in the next day or 2 days, how are they going to feel about you now? Well, it's not bad. Maybe I'm on top of things. I like this. But wait, there's more. Same week, you're going to send them a couple days later a second letter. See, one letter would be good. Second letter is great. It's going to go, Dear Hana Hana, I have completed the listing and I've sent it into the MLS service. It is now on the computer system and completely accessible to all the agents who subscribe to the service. In addition, I distribute a copy of the listing to each agent in my office. I'll make sure to point out all the highlights at the next office meeting. Also, pictures have been taken of your property using our advertising. It's going to be advertised in the next issue of blank. I appreciate your trust and confidence. I promise to market your home with 100% effort and commitment. So here it is. It's only a few days, and I've already done this, 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 this. Then this system, what you need to do is you send them a letter every 2 weeks telling them, here's what I've done the last 2 weeks. I just did this. I just did this. Now, what starts to happen, you send a letter that says, hey, listen, we need to meet. You know, we've been on the market for a while. I've been doing all this stuff, and my concern is, the longer something stays on the market, the harder it is for it to sell. Is that true, yes or no?
Yes.
Well, it says that to them in the letter. I'm not saying this is scary. I just want to protect your interests. And what we need to do is find the time when you can come into my office. We'll sit down. We'll put our heads together. Now, let me ask you this. How many of you like your homeowners to come to you saying, we should lower our price? Say
aye.
They will when you do this. See, what happens if you don't do this? And you go to them to say, have you ever had that happen with a homeowner where you call them up and say, you know, we need to talk. I think we should adjust the price. I just learned something at a seminar and, you know, I want to share it with you. Have you ever gone through this process, yes or no? If you don't have a lot of listings. Okay, for those of you that haven't had listings, if you try and talk to the homeowner about lowering their price, they're going to fight you. Because here's their thing. It's like, you've got no right to ask me to lower my price. Until you first prove to me you busted your butt to sell out at the price that I hired you for. Right? And we're not good at it. Now, here's the thing. We are busting our butt. The problem is we're not telling them. We're not communicating it. See, a listing is like any relationship. You get married, you don't say, I do, and that sucker's going to work out all by itself for the next 100 years. You got to keep selling them on the fact that they made the right decision when they picked you. Right? The same thing on a listing. You got a listing for 6 months. You got to keep letting them know they made the right decision. There's that piece. Here's the second piece of that. I want you to imagine you got this listing, 3 months go by, and because you're not keep selling them, because that's what this is. You're selling and informing at the same time. Because you're not doing that, 3 months go by, and if they're not one of those homeowners that are going to get pissed and nasty, but it's subconsciously, this agent's just, you know, they're doing nothing. So now 3 months, you bring them an offer. How are they going to listen to that offer if they think you've been sitting on in the office drinking coffee and eating donuts? What do you think they're going to do with that offer? If let's say it's an unusual offer, you know, it's less than the asking price. Unusual. Listen, that's a joke. If I got to explain my jokes, we're going to need more than 3 hours. So you bring them a lowball offer. What is that homeowner going to look at that offer and say?
It's your fault.
Cut your commission.
You cut your commission because you haven't done anything since the listing, right? You know, you haven't done anything. You want me to take a hit? You take a hit.
Exactly.
But if you've been doing this and that offer comes in, they're going to look at that offer a whole lot different. They're going to say, boy, you worked your butt off and this is what we got? Yeah. If I keep doing this, it may not get any better. This is what we got. Are you all with me on this? You'll get more offers accepted. You'll have less stress in your life. Okay. By the way, would you like me to raffle off these letters?
Yes!
Okay, we're almost there. I'm looking for a little bit more. All right, let's continue. So that was the business side. Now I'm going to get into like the skill side. Where are you going? You're going to miss the best part now. You got to go to the bathroom. You know, they got medicine for that.
Would you like me to get you started?
Okay. Here's now, so this piece here is like the running the restaurant skill. This is now like cooking in the kitchen skill, what I'm going to show you. And that's presenting price to the homeowner. Now, let me tell you, price and commission, the reason why that is a problem is because about what I'm going to teach you now. I'm going to ask you a question, and you're going to answer it wrong, and then I'm going to fix you. Okay?
Okay.
All right. So, when you go over to a house to talk to a homeowner, what should you be selling that homeowner on?
Yourself.
Price. No, come on. What are you selling on?
Yourself.
Yourself. Your company?
No.
So you want to sell yourself.
Right.
Okay. That's your problem. That doesn't work. See, let me help crystallize it for you. So ladies, please help the men with this. Ladies. Let's say, ladies, you're at a bar. And this guy, he's checking you out. And he wants to hook up with you. So he comes over to you, how you doing? And he starts to tell you how great he is, and why you would be lucky to hook up with him. Now ladies, help me with this. Does that technique work?
No.
Men, stop doing that. But by the way, that's exactly what you're doing when you're talking to a FSBO, telling them how great you are. That's exactly what we're doing, and that's why it doesn't work. So what should we be selling them on? Because I know that's what we've been trained, our companies train us on, sell yourself. You have other speakers? No, that's wrong. See, if you're sick, who would you call?
A doctor.
Right there, doctor. Why? Because you bought into the doctor industry. If somebody's going to sue you, you could represent yourself, would you? No. Who would you call?
Doctor.
Why? Why? Because you bought into the lawyer industry. The reason why a FSBO is a FSBO is because they haven't bought into realtor. So what you need, no, nothing, it's very simple. They haven't bought into realtors, period. So actually what you need to be selling the homeowner on is not you, but the real estate industry, realtors. If you get them to buy into realtors and you're the one communicating the message, they're going to naturally hire you. Now, let me tell you something. For those of you that hate the sales piece, now keeping in mind, you know, I've been training agents for so many years. And I know this piece is really important for the agents, why they actually decide to work with buyers. See, with buyers, they think it's not sales. You know, you're showing property, it's fun. You're not pushing people, you're not making people buy. They're choosing to buy. So you're basically servicing people, and you like that piece. It's the sales piece you don't like. And that's how we see the listing appointment. Listing appointment, you gotta do your sales pitch, and you gotta ask for money, and that's the part you don't like. But here's my assertion. You're not a salesperson there, you're a coach. My assertion is you're helping people by educating them. Now, if you embrace what I'm saying, you're going to actually enjoy the listing more now. See, I don't want you to go there to sell you, because that don't work. You make sure your commitment is to get them to buy into using a realtor. And if it's not you, that's even fine. I've actually said that. Ma'am, what's your name?
Josie.
I would say, Josie, one of the reasons why homeowners don't save money selling on their own is the multiple listing service. And then I explain the whole multiple listing thing the way I would do it. Okay, I'm just going to cut to the chase. Because the punchline is, I would get them so excited about the multiple, yeah. I say, now listen, I'm not saying this because I want you to listen to me. As a matter of fact, if you don't like me or trust me, I really don't want you to. What I'm saying for your benefit, you've got to find an agent that you like and trust so you can get plugged into this multiple listing thing. So when I said that, it worked at so many levels. First of all, it made me feel better that I wasn't selling, that I was serving. So I can speak with more conviction and more passion. See, when you speak with conviction and passion and you think you're selling, ugh. But if you're speaking with conviction and passion because you believe you're helping somebody, now you're strong. That's number one. Number two is, it seems less self-serving. You see, that homeowner is expecting you to go over there to take money out of their pocket. But who you are here, I'm not taking anything. I'm giving you. I'm giving you knowledge. I'm giving you information. And I'm giving you this idea you need by working with an agent. You're going to actually put more money in your pocket. Is this helping you again? Yes?
Yes.
All right. So, don't be... Now, I'm going to show you how to sell the industry. Right now. So, let me ask you, have you guys heard about Colby Sobrato? He's the guy that created ForSaleByOwner.com.
Oh, yeah. He listed his
Don't get a bunch like that. Yeah. So you did hear about it, right? Okay, let me tell you, Colby Sobrato. Colby Sobrato, he owns a condominium in New York City. 2,000 square foot, that's big in New York City. And so he's got his condo and he's selling it. So he created ForSaleByOwner.com. It was one of the first online FSBO things. Some people would say that he wrote the book on how to sell your own property. So the fact that he is selling his own property, he wants to sell his place, what do you think he did? He's for sale by owner, because that's who he is. He's the for sale by owner guy. This is what was published in the Wall Street Journal. By the way, this is New York, what would you guess? Buyer's market or seller's market? What would you guess?
Sellers.
It's always been a seller's market. When the bubble busted in July of 2006, New York took a hit, but only for 6 months, because you know us New Yorkers. So why are we buying into this crap? We're in New York, and the prices started going back up again. So it's only 6 months that we take a hit. So it's always been a seller's market. So you've got Colby Sobrato selling in a seller's market, which is what we have here, yes?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Wall Street Journal, founder and former CEO of ForSaleByOwner.com, Colby Sobrato listed his 2,000 square foot condominium on his own through classified ads and FSBO sites. So not only on his, but his competitors. So he's going FSBO, baby. Okay. After 6 months, everybody, how many?
Six months
in a seller's market, he decides to hire a real estate broker, Jesse Buckler, who immediately advised me he had to change the price. Now, I could stop right there, but Mr. and Mrs. Hanahana, the guy who wrote the book on how to sell your own property, couldn't sell his own property in a seller's market. This might not be the best business model for you, but wait, it gets better. So 6 months, he lives with Jesse. Jesse changes the price. higher, because it said he was attracting the wrong types of buyers. He raises the price, he gets multiple offers out the gate. 6 months, good day, multiple offers. And he closed it for $150,000 more than what he tried to sell it on his own. And by the way, he paid a 6% commission on $2 million. Now help me out. What's 6% on a $2 million property? What is that? No, $1,200? No, no. $120,000. Yeah, you just turn your numbers around. You're dyslexic with numbers. Yeah. Okay. So he paid $120,000. That's a big commission. Yes? He didn't pay 3%, 2%, $2 million, because you know how homeowners with $1 million. Look at the number. No, 6% on $2 million, $120,000. Oops, sorry. The slides again. Changing. $120,000 is what he paid, but how much did he sell it for? More. $150,000. Do the math. Colby Sobrato put an extra $30,000 in his pocket, sold it quicker. If he had made the right business decision when he first tried to sell, he would have saved the 6 months of maintenance fees. I would have been more money in his pocket. Are you all with me on this?
Yes.
If this guy can't sell his own property, I don't think any homeowner in San Diego is going to do it successfully. But wait, let me show you something. By the way, I don't expect you to say what I just said on a listing appointment. Yeah. Listen, if he couldn't do it, you're not going to, do it a little softer. I'm teaching you right now. Now, let's look at the next thing. USA Today came out with this article. For sale by owners can be a hard sell. Agents are often worth their weight in commission. Their weight. Now I want you to take a look. There's this graph over here. They did a study and they looked at what was the average sales price in these cities throughout the United States. Oh, by the way, I'm sorry. Let me back up. This article was in 2003. What was the market in 2003?
Insane.
Why would I use an article from 2003?
They couldn't do it then. They can't do it now.
Exactly, because we're looking at a seller's market. So based on what happened in 2003, a seller's market, we can determine what's going to happen now. That's the benefit of history. So here's what we got. 2003, this article comes out. They say, homeowners maybe shouldn't be selling on their own. Actually, agents are worth their commission and more, because here's what the study found. The average sales, they looked at what homeowners sold, the average sales price on their own, and in the same cities, the ones that sold with a realtor. And here's what they discovered. Fisbo's 137.4, agents 175. If you do the math, that means we sell houses for 21.49% more than the homeowner. Now let me tell you, that article is half right. It's right, but let's say it's half right. That means we're putting 11% more in people's pocket. We could charge them a 10% and they would still be net more money in their pocket and not have to deal with the hassles of selling on their own. Just based on these two things alone, a homeowner should not be selling on their own. They lose money. But let's go a little deeper. Why is this the case? Why do homeowners? Because you would think, well, geez, if a realtor's asking this number, well, if I just go a little lower, why shouldn't I be able to sell it and put more money in my pocket? And the buyer says, well, why? Here's why. If you were going to go buy a couch, where would you go?
Furniture
store. Very good. Give me a name of a store that you would go to.
Ethan Allen.
All right, let's use Ethan Allen. That's a good one. Now, I'm good, right? This ain't my first rodeo, But what if that Ethan Allen? I'm going to teach you a skill thing. As an example, in the chart and the prospecting, it's the same thing that you're having a homeowner at 2 hours later listing with you at 7%. Like, that's the Ethan Allen. Like, I know where the end is, and I just got to help them get there. Yeah. So that's when you're a chef. When you know the business that well, you know if you do this, you're going to produce that result. Okay? So I'm trying to teach you how to be a chef. How's it going so far? Yes?
Great.
All right, now. And I'm coming up to the big one. I'm so excited when I teach this one. It's going to change your career. All right, so Ethan Allen, right? So if you go to Ethan Allen to buy a couch, are you going to get a good quality couch?
Yes.
Come on.
Yes.
Is it a company you can trust?
Yes.
Are you going to pay top dollar?
Yes.
Do you know you're going to pay top dollar before you even go?
Yes.
Oh, so when you get in the car and you make the commitment to go to Ethan Allen, you're actually making a commitment to paying top dollar.
That's right.
Don't lose that thought. Why would anybody buy a couch on eBay? I mean, first of all, you got to see a couch up close. You can't do it from the colors on the screen, right? I don't care how many stars that seller has. You don't know if you can really trust the whole thing. It is a used couch. Therefore, you don't know what it was used for. Wrap your brain around that disgusting thought. So why would anybody buy a couch on eBay? Why? Because the commitment is to saving money to getting a good deal. Mr. and Mrs. Seller, any buyer that walks into my office, they know they're paying top dollar. Why? Because they know that every house I'm showing them has that commission built into the price. So they know they're paying top dollar. But the buyers that walk into my office are not committed to getting a good deal. They're committed to getting a nice home, to starting a new life, and buying it from a company that they trust. In other words, we attract the Ethan Allen buyers of real estate, not the eBay buyers. Everybody, ooh, yeah, I was going to go. See, they're not getting the same buyers we are. That's why those articles were true. They say, oh, I got buyers, people coming to my house. Yes, you've got eBay buyers coming to your house. We don't have those. Of course, we get a little bit of those people, and they only come over here to kind of determine what if this is a good deal. But the commitment is to the money, not to the processor or to the company. Now, here's something else, though, too. So first of all, we're not getting the same buyers. By the way, I want you to wrap your brain around this. You can do this with anything. You're selling shoes, you're selling clothes, you're selling appliances. When somebody puts it in a store, a used item, people are going to always pay more money than if you put it on Craigslist. Yes or no?
Yes.
You can take the same car, same VIN number, same everything, and you put it on Craigslist, you're going to have to give it for less money than if a used car dealer was selling it. Same car. Homeowners are not saving money ever because it doesn't apply to anything else that we as consumers buy. When people sell privately, it's always less. They cannot charge what a dealer would charge for the car.
Right.
This is good stuff, yes?
Yeah.
Wait, there's more. Now, when a homeowner, here's another reason why that's true. Let's equate finding a buyer is like fishing. So if a homeowner puts an ad out in the paper or they put a for sale sign, that's like, you know, going out to a lake, you throw a line out there. So every marketing thing they do is a line. So someone got 2-3 lines, they make their own flyer, that's a line, and they got the for sale. Are you with me?
Yeah.
What do? Are we using lines?
No.
We're using a net. We take like this big trawler, we go out into the ocean, throw out a big net. And we bring a whole ton of buyers on board. Ethan Allen buyers, not eBay buyers. It's a better quality fish to begin with, because we know where to go to get those fish.
Right.
We're fishermen. Yep. So we go out there, we throw our nets. Now, when we bring all these on board, we can be more selective. Pick the best fish for our store. Now, is it done right now? Is our job done? Are we going to eat that fish like this, flopping on the deck like that? Right there? No. What do we got to do now?
Kill it.
You know, I'm getting some really weird answers from you, and I don't know if your script needs to be adjusted or something, but kill it! Yeah, all right. So, yes, you got to prepare the fish, yes? We got to clean it. We got to gut it, yes?
Yes.
All right. Now, at first you got to kill it, yes, all right? You kill it, you clean it, and you gut it. All right. Now, after you've done all this, are we going to now eat the fish?
No,
unless you want sushi. What do we got to now do? We got to cook it. And that's a different skill set. The skill set of cooking is a different skill set from the prepping and from the fishing. They're all different skill sets. And Mr. and Mrs. Hanahana, that's what a realtor is. See, finding the buyer is only part of the process. Once we find the buyer, we've got to now prep it. We got to make sure their FICO score is solid. Then we got to make sure they got all the dots. So before you commit to buying this fish, that you're going to wind up to go on the closing table. So we're looking for that prepping part. Then after the prep, we're not done. Now we're going to start the cooking, which is the seasoning and the time. And that's the application, making sure all the things are ordered in time. So that way, when it's all said and done, we come to the dining room table, which in this case is the closing table. And we enjoy the whole process. Let me tell you something, Mr. and Mrs. Seller, selling a house is as simple as putting an ad in the paper. You wouldn't have to be licensed by the state of California to help other people do it. So there's got to be more than just throwing a pole out in the lake. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Right.
Yes. You guys learning anything? Yes or no? Oh, yeah, this is good stuff. Now I'm going to give you, like, the big thing. Do you want to know the number one secret to dramatically increasing your income?
Yes.
Okay, I'm not getting that excitement that I need. Maybe it's the way I ask the question, so let me try it again. You want to know this one technique that when you hear it, you are going to no more think about selling. You're going to be a better communicator. You're going to enjoy this business so much more. And because of that, this one technique, this one secret, will literally generate tens of thousands of dollars in your pocket. As a matter of fact, it's even more than that. It's like once I teach you this, like the heavens are going to open up. You're going to hear cherubs and seraphim singing in your ears. It's going to be a religious moment. Do you want it, yes or no? Yes! Great. All right, I bought this book on how to hypnotize people. Now, this book was $250. Now, the reason why it was $250 is because it's a real book that I bought, and it's a book that they sell college kids who are psychology majors. So this is a technique that psychologists use in therapy. So it's not like how to hypnotize, like go into a trance. It's a technique that's just used on the subconscious. Okay. Now, when I read this technique, I was like, oh my gosh, this is the same exact technique that top producers use and they don't even realize they're doing it. And motivational speakers use. Because when you go to a motivational speech, do you feel different, yes or no?
Yes.
Absolutely. You're like, you know, they do something to you. Who are some of those big motivational speakers out there? Some of the big names. Tony Robbins.
Mike Ferry.
Mike Ferry.
Zig Ziglar.
Zig Ziglar.
Billy Graham.
Anybody else?
Les Brown.
Daryl Davis. Yes, thank you. What the hell's wrong with you people? I'm standing right in front of you. You're like, oh, then you got this one, that one. Who else? Like you had a struggle to come up with that one. Oh, my. Actually, this is not motivational. You may be motivated, but this is a class.
Yeah.
This I'm teaching you stuff.
That's why we
didn't start. Yeah, okay. Anyway, that was good, man. That was good. Now, let's look at what a motivational speaker does, because that's what we have to do on a listing appointment.
No.
Well, what? No?
No, I was going to say your name, but I'm saving it for last.
Save the best for last. Thank you. All right, so now let me ask you, when you watch a motivational speaker, we know that you leave differently, yes?
Yes.
Okay, so what are they doing that has you feel different?
You get pumped up.
Yes, so, yeah, you get pumped up. What else are they doing?
Your emotions.
They're working with your emotions, yes, that's good. They help you dream. Okay, let me. Okay, you're all telling me what happens to you. My question is, how do they do that to you?
They ask questions.
What comes out of their mouths? Words. Yeah, well, of course, words. They're not mimes. I mean, all right, stop. Let me just tell you, because now it's becoming painful for me. And when I tell you, you're going to be like, oh, yeah. See, these speakers, they're not standing up here and doing a tip one, tip two. It's not a training class. Like, this is a training. Like, I'm giving you tips and technique. Like, I'm giving you, if this was like how to bake a Black Forest cake, I'm showing you the measurements and I'm giving you ingredients. That's not what they do. Here's what they do only for 45 minutes to an hour and a half. And this is the whole thing. They use stories, metaphors, and analogies. For 45 minutes to an hour and a half, all they do is they're storytellers. Yes or no?
Yes.
Yes. Now, let's look at the psychology of this. This is, you know what, the best part about this I know is that you've never heard this from any speaker before. And when you now hear it and get it, it is going to totally alter everything that you do. Because I'm going to spend about 10 minutes on this to keep showing you how great it is. Now, what you need to do is use stories, metaphors, and analogies. And the reason why, this psychology book that I bought, it says when you use a story, metaphor, analogy, people can usually relate to it so much better. Why? Because they have a similar experience. But because they went through that, they're not just hearing what you're saying, they are feeling what you're saying. So you're not just talking to their head, you're talking to their heart. Here's the other reason why it works so well. When you go on a FSBO appointment, if that FSBO hears anything that you're saying is trying to change how they think and believe, you're actually making them wrong. So what we're doing, then you're going to force them to become more what? Defensive. So by using a metaphor analogy, you're actually taking something they already have a belief in to prove your point. So we're not changing their beliefs. We're using the beliefs that they have to validate what we're trying to communicate. This is so much more awesome. Are you liking this so far?
Yes.
Now, I've already given you some that you can use on an appointment. What have I given you?
Fishing.
The fishing pole technique. What's another one that I gave you?
The story about Corey.
Colby Sobrato, right? So that was a story, right? What was the, another one?
Ethan
Allen, that was a metaphor noun. Now that I taught you that, let me show you how it works. Because now you're going to hear it differently now, because you didn't realize what was happening. So let's now, let's see, man, what's your name?
Sarita.
What is it?
Sarita.
Sarita?
Yep.
Now, Sarita, do you ever have a homeowner say to you, when you're showing them the comps and stuff, they go, yeah, my house is special, though. Do they ever say that? It's, oh, yeah, our house is special. When we had it built, we used the thicker wood, right? Like, really?
And the heavy beams.
Oh, and the heavy beams. Yeah. Oh, and the longer nails. And we did 14 karat gold on the toilet bowl. Now, so they got it's their house is special. Watch this. So let's say Sarita, you're right, your house is really beautiful. Let me ask you a question. Let's pretend that I gave you $101 bills. Okay, they're beautiful, they're crisp and clean. And I say, go to the mall and sell each one for 95 cents. How long would it take you to sell 100?
5 minutes.
5 minutes. Let's say I give you $101 bills, they're beautiful, crisp and clean, and I say, go to the mall and sell them for 90 cents each. Not 95, but 90. How long will it now take you? Probably 3 minutes. And if I said 85 cents, you'd say, the hell with the mole, you buy them yourself, right? Now, by the way, don't do that laugh on the appointment. That was for my own enjoyment right now. So, Sarita, let's say I give you $101 bills. I mean, they're crisp, they're clean, they're beautiful. And I say, go to the mall. And they're beautiful. And sell them for $1.10. How long do you think it would take you?
Days.
Days. Like never.
Yeah.
I guess the point that I'm trying to make here, Sarita, is no matter how crisp and clean and beautiful you and I both know your house is, we can't sell a dollar for $1.10.
Very good.
Now wait, there's more. One of the things I'm going to teach you is that you always want to have two metaphors and analogies. Here is why. Because when you do the first one, they go like this in their brain. Sometimes it even shows up on the face. They go, huh. Right? Now here's what's happening, is they know you're right, but if they agree with you, they lost the conversation. So they're having this internal battle with their own beliefs. So then when you do the second one, it goes like this. So you always want to try and have the two. Like when I did the fishing pole, I did the whole process of the pole versus the net, and the second piece to that was, now, once we catch the fish, we got to do this, this, and this. So it was a two-parter. Here's the two-parter with the dollar bill. That was good, yes? Can't sell a dollar for $1.10? But now we're going to push her over the edge. Now, let's say, Sarita, you want to go to the mall and buy a dollar. You got two to choose from. They're both a dollar. This one is beautiful. It's crisp and clean. This one, it's crumpled. It's dirty, stained, torn. Now, if you're going to buy a dollar bill, which one are you going to buy? The dirty, nasty one or the nice, clean, crisp one?
I'm going to buy a crisp one.
Yeah, the nice, crisp one. And the point I'm trying to make here is that all the wonderful improvements you did to your house doesn't make the dollar worth more than a dollar. It just means it'll sell before the other dollars. Now, you see, that pushes her over now. So metaphors and analogies. But here's the best part that I just taught you and you don't even realize it yet. Can you all go do the dollar bill technique, yes or no? Yes, you can, and you didn't have to memorize a script. Can you go do the Ethan Allen technique, yes or no? And you didn't have to memorize a script. That's the best part about all my stuff that I teach. See, the problem with scripts, now don't get me wrong, I have scripts on there. But the scripts, I always tell my students, I don't want you to memorize the script. The script is an example of a concept. Once you get the concept, create your own script.
Right. Yes.
Because the problem, if you're trying to be me and do my script, if you're going to be me, who am I going to be? Right? You have to be you. That's number one. Number two is, when you're scripted, that's why you don't like the sales piece.
Right.
Because you got taught, somebody taught you, whether, I'm not going to say the name, somebody taught you a script. And they told you got to practice, drill, and rehearse, practice, drill, and rehearse. So you lose who you are. So the script shows up. Wait, listen, stop doing scripts. It's called human being, not human doing. And the other problem with scripts is, like, what happens if they don't know their part? I mean, that'd be nice. You go on appointment now, Tariq. Here's your part. Here's mine. Yeah, you want to role play it? Let's stand up and do it 10 times, okay? Doesn't work that way. So all you got to do is have metaphors and analogies, and you're going to be your message and not do a sales pitch. Do you like this? Yes or no?
Yes.
This is great stuff I'm giving you.
Yes. Yes.
Because now you can be more service to people, and you don't have to worry about the sales piece of it.
More natural.
It's more natural, exactly. I want you to be more you. Because people list with people. And they can't list with you if they don't know who you are and if you're being something that you're not. You know, there's an integrity issue there. That's why we don't like it. We're trying to sell them and do this thing. And it's inauthentic to who we are. And that's why we don't like it. Be authentic. Be committed to serving people. By the way, I'm going to ask you a question. And you're going to answer this wrong. And then I will fix you.
You're not answering
again. No, I'm not answering this time, so that way I won't be wrong. All right.
She can answer again.
yeah, the loud mouth behind you, yeah. All right, now, watch this. What do you think the end result is when a homeowner hires you as their listing agent? What is the end game? What's the end game? Now, come on, don't worry about it. Oh, let me guess the right one now. Tell me what you honestly think is the end game why they hire us. To sell the house. Exactly not. No one sells a house to sell a house. Everybody sells a house for a reason.
To move on.
It's more, well, you can, yes, but let's go a little bit deeper. It's not just to move on. They have a specific, unique goal, commitment that they have that is going to change and alter the quality of their life.
Pull the money out.
This is, that's it's bigger than that. This is a life-changing thing that they're going through. They're going to Florida to be with the grandkids to retire. They're getting divorced. They got to start a whole new life. And they're fighting with the kids at the same time. They have a job opportunity. The point is, selling the house is not the end result. Selling the house is a means to an end. But every realtor, not the chefs, the bakers, they say to sell the house. The chefs say to help people get to their next level. Because they got it. They figured it out. Now, why is this important? Because when you go on a listing appointment, understanding that what you do is help transform people's lives by getting them from point A to point B, that takes on a whole different now attitude in that conversation, that listing appointment. You ain't selling, you are serving.
Right.
Yes.
Yes.
Now you're talking from your heart, and they're going to pick up on this. They're going to say, you get them. You're clear about what you're doing. You see? This is chef stuff now. And by the way, when you are clear on that point, you're just going to be a different agent. Because when you're a negotiator, have you ever had that happen in negotiations where people start talking about stupid stuff? You know what I'm talking about? People, like, they're in contract, and all of a sudden, they're fighting about, like, you know, some, like the buyer wants the refrigerator, it's not staying, they just found out they want the refrigerator, it should stay, and the seller's like, no, the refrigerator's mine, it's a family heirloom, you know, and everybody's fighting about this refrigerator, yes? Now, what does the baking agent do? What do? They start talking about the refrigerator, and they're going back and forth about the refrigerator. They might even buy the refrigerator, yes? Here's what a chef does. What I used to say to my homeowners is this. Listen, Mr. Marcel, you have to understand something. As your agent, my commitment is whatever your commitment is. I'm committed to getting you what you're committed to. Now, if you're telling me you are more committed to this refrigerator, then moving to Florida to be with the grandkids, I want you to know that's what I want to. And I will tell these buyers to go take a walk. If you want my advice, I don't think that's your grandkids would like that. But you've got to tell me what you're committed to, refrigerator or moving on, and I'll make it happen. I didn't get involved in that conversation. That's just BS. My job is to keep people focused on what they're committed to during the negotiations so people do stupid stuff. Yes?
Yes.
Okay. Anyway, is this helping any of you? Yes or no?
Yes.
Now, I got to tell you something. How many objections would you say there are in our business? How many?
Let me count the words.
No, there's only a problem.
Yeah, we would say there's, you know, millions of blah, 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 blah. Actually, if you sat down and wrote everyone out, like I did, you would discover there's 14. Now if you knew what those 14 were, and you had at least 5 ways to handle each one, would you have more confidence on a listing appointment? Yes or no?
Yes.
Would you get more listings?
Yes.
You would lose fewer. Yes. You would go in like how I knew Ethan Allen before you said it. How great would that be? That you knew what was going to happen before it even happened. We're going to talk about the buyer piece. What do we know about buyers? Oh, I got to hurry up now.
They're liars.
They're liars. Buyers tell us, I want this, 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 this. What do we show them? Then we research this, this, this. And then what do they buy? That's. And then we say buyers are liars, right? This is going to be a game changer for you, what I'm about to teach you. And that's why it's worth us going over the time. Is it all right that we're going over time here?
Yes.
No, we're only going over because I gave you extra material.
Yes.
All right. What's that? I'm a good man, thank you. What we do is we take a buyer out, we'll show them 10 houses, right? That's a mistake because you're not going to sell a house. You might sell a house. What you need to do is you take one house and you show it 10 times. Now, when you do this, you're going to sell more quicker. The question is, what house do you show 10 times? No. Which is what everybody says, my listings. Who does that benefit? You or the buyers? You. Let's think what benefits the buyers. They're the ones buying. Here's what you're going to show them. The shiny penny. Write that down. Shiny penny. Now let's define what a shiny penny is. A shiny penny, you can take houses, buyers, and put them into price categories, right? So if a buyer says, I want to buy a house for $500, you might show $5 to $550, let's just say. Now, in that price category, if we look at the houses, $5 to $550 in your market, let's say there's 30 houses, 20 houses for sale. The rule of thumb is usually 2 to 3 of those 30 are better than all the rest. It's like when you have coins in your pocket and that shiny penny pops out of there because it's nice and clean. That's what this is. Of all the houses in that category, this 1, 2, or 3 pops. This is the one where you go to a broker's open and go, ooh, have you ever done that? You walked into a house and, whoa, this is a nice house. You were saying it was a shiny penny without using the term shiny penny. Now, if a buyer has $500,000 to buy a house, are they going to buy the worst that money could buy or the best? The best. In other words, the shiny penny. So here's what you do. Here's what we did in my office. Our office became the number one office when we opened up our doors 6 months after we opened. Why? Because I'm teaching it to you right now. Every week I met with my agents. I said, who saw a shiny penny this week? you know, because everybody's looking at their own, right? So my agents knew what Shiny Penny was. So they said, oh yeah, so-and-so listed a Halmoth Realtors listed a three-bedroom, two-bath plan. And I knew the market, so I would agree. You're right, that is a Shiny Penny. And then it would go on the Shiny Penny list. Are you with me? We had a separate list. That was just the top house. It doesn't matter who listed it. Your listing got nothing to do with it. Based on location, based on square footage, it's got more bang for the buck. Are you with me?
Yeah.
So what we did is we created a separate list. Every time an agent, a buyer came into our office, a new buyer, you know, we asked them, tell us what you're looking for, bedrooms, beds, you know, that's a, we didn't listen to them. That's when we took a mental break. We may believe we were listening, but we took a little snooze. We checked over our grocery list and what we had to do the rest of the day. We didn't pay any attention. There was only one question we paid attention to. Only one question we cared about. What was it?
How much you want to
spend. Exactly. Based on what price range they're in, I would look to the shiny pennies and I would show them just those. So if they say to me, I want a four-bedroom, two-bath, colonial with a full-finished basement on the cul-de-sac, and in their category, I got a shiny penny that's three-bedroom, one-bath, ranch on a squinch on a main road, I'm showing it to them. Why? Because they don't ever buy what the hell they say they're going to buy because they buy the shiny pennies. Yes?
Yes?
And if they don't buy the shiny penny, they ain't ready to buy now, which frees up your time to do what?
Sell more.
Not sell more. Find another buyer. No. Yes. Build more inventory for your own damn store. Yes. But Daryl, I'm going to lose some buyers doing this because some buyers want me to show them everything. Yes, you're going to lose buyers doing what I'm telling you, but you're going to lose as many as you're losing now. Just my way, you're going to lose them quicker. If I'm going to lose your Friday, I want to know Monday. See, instead of you chauffeuring and doing all this stuff, that first category, the buyer's working you. What's our shoes? What's our product? What's our inventory? Is houses. Less stress. Here's a ditty for you. Less stress, income higher, work the house, not the buyer.
Nice.
Find the best shiny penny and work it to yourself. By the way, you've already done this. You don't even know you've done this by accident. You'll go to a broker's open house because they got food, you're hungry, you got to eat. Right? So you only went for the damn food, right? So you go there to eat and you go, ooh, this is a hot house. You walked into a shiny penny. You didn't know the term, but you did it by accident. Now you went back to your office or in the car in your cell, you called your buyers and you told, listen, you got to come. Did we tell them to come and see another 10?
No.
As a matter of fact, we did the opposite. See, they're always calling us. Can we come out this week? Can we come out this week? All of a sudden, you call and say, listen, you got to come out and see this one house. By the way, bring your checkbook. And what happens to that house in a few days?
It's gone.
It's gone because you are working the house, not the buyer. You're doing what I'm telling you now by accident. Now do it all the time. And the worst part about this is that you're going to have so much free time, you're going to feel like you're not working. I don't understand. I'm supposed to show them like more. It's supposed to be harder. No. Take the shiny penny, show it until you sell it, move on. What I just taught you, you're gonna make a few extra sales every month in half the time that you're doing now. Did you like that? Yes or no?
Yes.